Yeah, yeah. All right. We'll catch Tim later. I want to talk to you tonight about the blessed man, and that when the Lord uses the word man, he's talking about both men and women. It's just a word that he used. He created man in his image, male and female, he created them. So when we talk about the blessed man, we're talking about the blessed man and the blessed woman, and hopefully you want to be blessed of God. And he's going to tell you tonight exactly how to get in on the blessing. So many people are in on the curse and they don't have to stay there. You can have a blessed life. So I'm going to read Psalm chapter 1, starting at verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And so when we look at that, King Solomon once said in Ecclesiastes 12:12, he said, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." And right after Solomon wrote that, he turned right around and wrote two more books. There's so many books already, do we need more books? And what was true in Solomon's day about the books everywhere is far more true today. Ever since the printing press came out, there's been books everywhere, and it's just multiplying all the time. Solomon gave us, after he wrote that in Ecclesiastes, the book of Proverbs and the book of Solomon, or the Songs of Solomon. Solomon's statement was true 2,000 years ago, and it's far more so today. The first book ever printed was printed in 1455, and that's 568 years ago, in Mainz, Germany, on the Gutenberg Press. The book that Gutenberg, the inventor of the press, wrote was the Gutenberg Bible. He published more than 180 large format copies of the Bible in Latin, and no more than 40 are known to be in existence today. And we talked this morning about the value of something, how few there are. It's extremely valuable. You could probably put all of our money together and we couldn't buy two pages out of that whole book. And so extremely important. The Bible is not only the first book ever printed, but it's the book that is the most printed book in the world. There are more Bibles in print than any other book around. The most loved book in the Bible is probably the book of Psalms, which we just read the first psalm. In the book of Psalms, it's a collection of songs that were actually sung. In fact, they were sung in the church until about the 1700s. That was the music of the church, was the Psalms. Of those 150 psalms, it's a collection, 150, and those 150 psalms, they are a balm for the healing heart. If you get sad about something and you start reading the Psalms, it'll give you hope. It gives you purpose for living. A lot of people lose their purpose. What am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? What's next? Psalms will instruct you in that. It'll give you light for your daily walk and a song in the night. You can still sing the Psalms if you choose to. It's still there. 100 of those Psalms have superscriptions identifying the author. Another 50 more are anonymous. Nobody knows who wrote them. And that first psalm, nobody knows who wrote it. There's no name on it. David wrote 75 of the 150 psalms. So King David wrote half of the psalms. Psalm 1 is an introduction to the 149 psalms that follow it, and is trying to tell us how to live a blessed life. Psalm 1, just like all the other scriptures, are given by inspiration of God. Just because we don't know who wrote it does not mean that God did not inspire it. And here's why he inspired it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's why. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 1 speaks of two different kinds of men, and women, of course. The blessed man and the cursed man. It speaks of two different ways. There's God's way to live this life, and there's man's way to live this life. The song begins with the word blessed, and it also includes two destinies. Eternal life and eternal death. It's all in the first psalm. The word blessed is often translated as happy or well off, but the word blessed means far, far more than that, much deeper than that. He talks about the three things basic to God's special blessing. In other words, what do you have to do to become a blessed man or a blessed woman? Number one, the recipient of God's special blessing must possess God's life. Even in the Old Testament, they had to be born again. And you have to be born again as well. Number two, the goodness of God rests upon the life of those God gives his special blessings to. Number three, God's special blessings may be in the physical realm, or it may be in the spiritual realm, or it may be in both. A lot of people's lives didn't look very blessed. When Job lost his 10 children, lost his health, lost his wealth, it didn't look like he was blessed. But he was a blessed man. He loved the Lord, and the Lord turned all those troubles into a rich blessing for him. So why did I mention God's special blessing? Because God blesses everybody. Believers, unbelievers, good people, wicked, wicked, wicked people, he blesses them all. In Matthew 5, verse 45, it says that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So God blesses everybody, because when you see the sun like we did the other day, it just makes everybody's spirits rise, whether you're a good person or a bad person. It doesn't matter. When you get the rain on your crops in the time that you need it, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or bad. God blesses both. But a person may be blessed of God with far more than just sun or rain. God has special blessings that come only on those who love him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So you have to be in Christ to get these special blessings. That does not apply to the man or woman who does not know God and has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those special blessings that are in heaven are not for them. In Philippians 4:19, another promise for the child of God. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I got to tell you, that one's a tough one sometimes. The Apostle Paul got that made for him. But if you follow Paul's life, you look at a pretty hard life, whipped with 39 stripes many, many, many times, beaten, lost on a ship, almost starved to death. And so when you look at that, don't think just because you're walking with God that everything's going to go right in life. That's not the blessed life. The blessed life is in all that you can praise God that he's using you to further his kingdom, because great will be your reward in heaven. I mentioned some blessings are physical, some are spiritual. Some of the spiritual ones are only going to come in eternity. And so we have to trust our God with that. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that it worketh in us." That power is the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you to expect great things from God. Don't think he can't change your situation, because he certainly can. So the man or God who God blesses in the heavenlies may be blessed with things like good health, a marvelous family, wealth here on the earth, or both, or none of the above. We look at blessings, we always think it's going to be that I'm going to marry the cutest girl in school, I'm going to have the biggest house, I'm going to have the big car and the big boat. Many of God's blessed children have none of those things, but they're happy in the Lord. When Ken McGilvery, he's a man that comes to our revival prayer meeting on Tuesdays. He's a missionary to Haiti. And he goes over to Haiti training new pastors how to serve the Lord. And he says the people of Haiti have almost nothing, but they're some of the happiest people you'll ever meet. And so those blessings are in the heart sometimes. To better understand God's blessing, which he loves to do, it's helpful to realize the exact opposite of that. Because God not only blesses, God can curse too. And he does. In the book of Deuteronomy, and we're not going to take time to read it all tonight, but in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, God gave the nation of Israel his blessing. He told them what he would bless them for, but then if you go down a little bit further, in chapter 28, verses 15 through 68, so you got 14 verses of blessings, you've got about 53 verses of curses if they won't obey the Lord, what he's going to do. And then in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, which we are going to read, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord your God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Do you understand in this life, you're the one that must make the choice? Are you going to have a blessed life through obedience to the Lord, or are you going to have a cursed life by disobeying the clear teachings of Christ? You get to choose. Even Christians can live in a life where God is constantly spanking them, having to get after them, because they simply choose not to obey. They know exactly what God wants, but it's not what I want. And I'm going to run my life the way I want to. You're on your way to the curses in your life. And you're going to wonder, why can't I have a stable life? Why can't I enjoy this life? It's because you will not listen to God. Because they disobeyed God in Deuteronomy 28, verse 63, he says, it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you should be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess. It was as simple as this. If they would love the Lord and obey what he said, they were going to live in that land forever. But because they would not obey the Lord, and they started to worship idols and do all kinds of things God told them not to do, they went off the land. And today they're there, but they're certainly not very much in charge over there. They've got enemies still surrounding them to this day. So Psalm 1 starts off with what the blessed man must not do. And as I read this, I hope you're saying to yourself, I really do believe God can bless me, and I want to do what he tells me to do to get the blessing, and I don't want to do what he tells me not to do. So Psalm 1:1 again. Got her, Dave? There we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So Psalm 1 begins with three things that the blessed man must not do. Number one, He must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The teaching of the ungodly is all around us. Our kids are going to school and they're being taught ungodly things. Whether you know it or not, some of the school systems right around us are having drag queens come in. That's a guy who dresses up as a woman and goes in and tells the kid how much fun it is to be gay. Folks, that's not good. The Lord says, stop learning things that are evil. And we're paying people to come in and teach our children evil things. The public libraries have the same thing in them today. You can't get in there to preach the gospel, but they can bring in a drag queen. So what the Lord is saying here is, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It's built on four pillars. Number one, which your children are being taught if you got children or grandchildren. The first pillar of the ungodly is there is no God. And our children are being taught there is no God. In Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The second pillar is that man evolved. And that is absolutely contrary to the word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If evolution is true, those three verses are a lie. That's that simple. Evolution and creation cannot get along together. Number three, there is no such thing as absolute truth. There's no foundation any place in this world that you can say this is true, because it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. In John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the truth, and the Word of God is the truth, and our kids and our grandkids are being taught there is no truth. It's not good. Number four, there's no standard of morality everyone must abide by. In other words, you've got what you think is right, and I've got what I think is right, and what I think is just as good as what you think. But God says there is truth. There is right and there is wrong. In John 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I can't tell you how many people I know that claim to be Christians, that are caught up in all kinds of things that hold them in bondage, and they just can't get out of it. Jesus said, if you'll just simply take my word as the truth and obey it, there's nothing that can bind you down. But sadly, people will not believe it, and they think there's nothing I can do. It is as simple as this. Jesus Christ has told us what's right. Jesus Christ has told us what's wrong. And if we'll do it, we'll be blessed. If we won't do it, we're going to be cursed. The blessed man does not stand in the way of sinners. Deeds follow thoughts. If you have wicked thoughts in your mind, you're going to live a wicked life. If you fill your mind with the things of God, you're going to live a godly life. It all takes place right here between your ears. We have to control our hearts and our minds. The Bible says, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life, and we have to guard it. If you're watching stuff on television or on your computer that makes you think evil thoughts, it's got you. Satan wants to take you captive to that kind of thinking. We have to say no. In Romans 1:18, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Men and women know in their hearts what's right and wrong. Even if they don't know the Bible, God has put it into their hearts to know. And they do know. But they determine in their hearts, I'm going to do what I want to do. And the wrath of God stays on them. The blessed man avoids the way of sinners because he knows the truth of God's word. In Proverbs 16:25, it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Folks, they even think it's right. Do you think those men and women out there marching with their rainbow flags really think homosexuals wrong? They think in their mind it's okay. I know what God says, but I don't care about that. That's just an old book written 2,000 years ago. That don't mean a thing. But in their hearts, they know it's wrong. Do you know that suicide among homosexuals is way, way higher, like 3 times higher than other people? Why? Because they know deep in their heart what they're practicing is not good. The blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful person is a person who ridicules those who are trying to do and live correctly under God's leadership. You won't join them, but I got to tell you, if you practice evil, it won't be very long. You will be joining them, and you will be scoffing even against the things you thought at one time were right. I've seen that happen too. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus said this, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world," in other words, if you were practicing all the things this world says, the world would love his own. "But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." If you don't suffer persecution as a Christian, something's wrong with your life. They that will live godly will suffer persecution. It's part and parcel. Don't be surprised when they don't like you. We must delight in the law of the Lord. Now, I just want to make a little difference here. This is Old Testament. The law was in effect how long? When did the law start? Started with Moses. There was no law before Moses. It went from Moses until the seed was delivered. The seed is Jesus Christ. The law was done away with Christ when he died on that cross. And so when we say delighting yourself in the law now, what we're really saying is delight yourself in the Word of God. All they had, Old Testament, was the law. But that's not what we have in the New Testament times. We are under grace. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so we're not saying you have to keep the Sabbath day. We're not saying all the Old Testament laws of the sacrifice and all the rest. That's not what we're saying. We're saying delight in the Word of God. Okay, what's for us today? In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Today we would say, "Great peace of them that love your word." When you have that love for the Word of God, we're not under law today. We're under grace today. And you need to know the difference. It's important. In Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We must meditate on God's word. I can't tell you how important that is, because people come into church on Sunday and they don't think about God and his word until the next Sunday. You ought to be thinking about God's word all through the week. You ought to be memorizing and hiding it away. Joshua, who walked with God, or not with God, with Moses. When Moses died, the Lord gave Joshua this command in Joshua 1:6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He's talking about being blessed. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The rewards of coming or becoming a blessed man. I want to talk about that just for a minute. Three things are said about the blessed man. Number one, he's going to be like a tree planted by the streams of water. In ancient Israel, there were three basic sources of water. Number one, you could dig a cistern. And a cistern was a hole they cut into rock, and then they would plaster the inside of the cistern all around so that it would hold water. Then you could go there and you could dip out water that was in that cistern. A couple things that are sad about cisterns. Number one, if a cistern cracks, guess what? Doesn't hold water anymore. Number two, if any kind of vermin or any kind of pestilence gets in there, guess what? You don't want to drink that water because it's not living water. It's not moving water. Wouldn't be good. So the first thing is the cistern. The second thing was the well. You could dig down deep into the earth and maybe find a source of water that you could drink, and wells are better than a cistern. But the third source of water was a stream. A stream was called living water in the Old Testament because things lived in the stream. People could drink it and be refreshed, but so could the animals. It gave life to the animals. It gave life to the fish. Everything in the water lives. And so it was called living water. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, talking about cisterns, he says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Folks, if you aren't connected to the living water, the spring of life, you don't have real life in you. This is the blessing that God is bringing to his people. And so in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus takes this idea of the stream of living water, and he says that refers to him. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. By this spake he of the Spirit, which he that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, as a Christian, God has given you that spirit within you that you can be a spring of living water for others. We just have to trust in our Lord Jesus. And so it's extremely important we understand that. He says the man who's blessed by God will bear fruit in its season. Now, I want to tell you, bearing fruit in season, you might think that, well, I'll produce all the days of my life and I'll just keep producing. The season for planting and harvesting is different depending upon what you're planting. If I go out and plant tomatoes or corn, usually it's about 90 days and I'll get a harvest, okay? But suppose I go out and put in a citrus tree. Do you understand with a citrus tree, you got to wait 3 or 4 years? It doesn't come the first year. It doesn't come the second year. It doesn't come the third, but it will on the fourth. On the other hand, if you plant an olive tree, you know you're going to wait 25 years to get any fruit off that olive tree? Some of us are surprised when we don't see somebody really take hold right at first and really start producing fruit for the Lord. Sometimes you got to wait. I led a man to the Lord years ago at Plant 2. And for the first whole year, he said, yes, I have believed. Yes, I have believed. But you couldn't see any change in life. Nothing was happening. But after that first year, man, he blossomed and he really went to work for the Lord. And so you sometimes you have to be patient. Give it the time. In its season, it will produce. And he did. Some people think, well, I'll produce when I'm young, and when I get old, I'm just going to take it easy. That's exactly opposite of what God says. In Psalm 92, verse 12, the Lord says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. What he's talking about, there's the date palm tree. Whether you know it or not, the date palm tree doesn't produce fruit right away, but when it does start producing fruit, every year it's sweeter and sweeter and sweeter right up to the last year of its life. It produces the best crop ever. And that's God's normal way of working with us. If you'll keep working with the Lord and keep following him, you're going to produce your best fruit in your old age. Yes, we can be fruitful in the younger years too, but God loves to use experienced people to do his work. And if you'll just stay faithful, you'll be producing until the Lord takes you home. Whatever he does shall prosper, the Bible says. And when I think of that, I always go back to Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament was a good son of Jacob, his dad, but his brothers hated him because Joseph had told them a dream in which they were all going to bow down to him. And in Genesis 39, verse 1, they sold him as a slave to the Egyptians, and it says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put it into his hand. And Joseph, what we look at and say, wow, the Lord really blessed him. Even though he did nothing wrong, he wound up a slave. But as a slave, God blessed him. He said, well, that's the end of the story. No, it's not. The wonderful thing about Joseph is, as things got worse, Joseph simply stayed faithful. Potiphar's wife took a shine to Joseph because he was a handsome rascal, the Bible says, and she wanted to go to bed with him. And Joseph said, your husband has given me everything into my hand. There's nobody greater in this house than me, and the only thing he's withheld from me is you because you're his wife. He says, I can't do it. She claimed Joseph tried to rape her. Joseph winds up in jail for doing nothing wrong. When those things happen, I hope you understand, things go wrong in our lives. In every one of our lives, things go wrong. But if we'll stay faithful, God has a plan. He's going to greatly bless you if you'll just stay faithful. Genesis 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. No matter what's going on in your life, if you'll keep trusting the Lord and keep obeying the Lord, Joseph could have said, if this is the way you're going to treat your servant, I'm done. There goes the blessing. But he didn't. And so often in life, we can get so caught up with the terrible things that happen. It happens to all of us. But God will use it for your good. You'll be that blessed man or woman if you'll simply trust God and say, God means this for good. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it. I wish it wasn't the case. But I am going to choose to keep trusting my Lord because I know he's going to work it the right way. So important to understand that. Let's look just for a minute before we're done here tonight at the ungodly man or woman. In Psalm 1, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly man is the cursed man. He produces or has no life from God. Not born again. He's like chaff. And the sad thing is, even if you're the farmer, what value does chaff have to you? It's useless. You can't use it for anything. And that's the way God feels about those that are not saved, have not received Christ. They are ungodly. In John 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. In Psalm 1:6, it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We need to be those that are telling the ungodly that there is a better way to live. Galatians 6, 7 talks about that. It's a, 6:6, okay. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There are two different things that you and I get to sow to. We can sow to our sinful flesh if we choose to. We can go out and drink and party and carry on, and what are we going to get for it? We're going to get destruction. Or we can determine we're going to live our lives for God's glory, we're going to live our lives His way, and we're going to be blessed. The blessed man gets life that is really life. The ungodly man is never going to know that life. I want to encourage you today, make a choice. Joshua said, you can do whatever you want, you can worship whatever you want, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I hope that's your choice. I want to see you in glory. We're going to sing